Food, water, and shelter are three basic human needs. Parshas Chukas discusses three miracles that occurred in the desert in order to ensure that the Jews would have these basic needs fulfilled. One was the man, the bread from heaven, as the Torah describes it, the divine sustenance, which the Jews subsisted off of as their food. Parshas Chukas also discusses the Be'era Shel Miriam, Miriam as well. And finally, it discusses the Anani HaKovid, the clouds of glory, which served as the Jewish people's shelter. The Rebbe, in a Sicha for Parshas Chukas, discusses, in the Lekutei Sichas, Parshas Chukas, Chelik Beis, the first Sicha, the Rebbe discusses why it is that these three miracles are associated with three different Jewish leaders, but that ultimately all three miracles can be drawn down, can be manifest through Moshe Rabbeinu's unique power as a Jewish leader. In this year, we'll go through the Sicha inside in Yiddish, and it's in the Lekutei Sichas, Chelik Beis, page 331. The Rebbe tells us, in Midrashim Chazal, the Lechazan and Farbundin, but their Haintik is Sedra. In the Midrashim of Chazal, which are connected to this week's Parsha, Parsha Chukas, Yetzi Harum, Chazal discuss, as the Anan Kovet Zayin Given in Aaron Zuchus, that the clouds of glory were in Aaron's merit. The Ber Maim, the well, is Given Miriam's Zuchus, that manifested as a result of Miriam's merits. On their man, and the man, the lechem and shemayim, the bread from heaven, is given in zchus Moshe. That manifested in Moshe Rabbeinu's merit. The Aaron and Miriam zayin nistalik gevorin, zayin uch tsugelum and gevorin, the nana kofim mit nber. When Aaron and Miriam passed away, the clouds of glory and the well were taken away. When zayin noch them tsuriki keret gevorin in zchus Moshe. And they ultimately returned in Moshe Rabbeinu's merit, as in the well and the clouds of glory. Although it's the case that Torah is wisdom, that Torah has an intellectual quality, as the Torah tells us in Sefer Devarim, that Torah is our wisdom and our understanding in the eyes from the perspective of the outside world, from the perspective of the nations, from the Stegen and the less, it's not called by the name wisdom in a secular sense, but rather Torah is called Torah, which means teaching, as it explains Milshon Hayra'a, which is associated with the term teaching. And the Rebbe here cites the Zoyar in the Chelik Gimel and the Gimel of Beis, and the Gur Aryeh of the Maharal in the opening of his commentary to Bereishis, citing the Radak, that Torah means not just wisdom, but rather teachings, actionable lessons. Rebbe explains, as he's meaning to say, as yeder inyinus es derzelt in Torah, is das ayra onvaizum, that everything that is related in Torah is a lesson, alamolun umutum in tog terechen leben, not just with respect to the historical narrative, but rather in every place and every time in daily life. Thus haste meaning to say, as nit nor di mitzvahs was in Torah, mitzvahs ase, u mitzvahs lois ase, zayin le'ira on leben. Not only is it the case that the mitzvahs, the positive and negative commandments, are lessons in life, the eich di sepurim from Torah, but even the stories of Torah, zayin le'ira on leben, they are also a lesson in life. Varum, eich di mitzvahs zayin geshev givar nit b'derech tzivu in nor b'derech sipur. Because the mitzvahs were not written in a manner of commandment, rather in a manner of a story. As the Ebeshur Gizak Moshe, that Hashem told the mitzvahs to Moshe, when Moshe at Gizak, and then Moshe related the mitzvahs, the Yidden, to the Jewish people. When Azoi, the mitzvahs, Hagan Zan Yishim Givar Mederech Sipur, Zan Neirah, and just as the mitzvahs are written in a narrative form, but nonetheless teach eternal actionable lessons. The same is true of the narratives in the Torah. They too are actionable lessons. Because the stories as well, the narratives, are part of the Torah. For this reason, the Rambam, in his Perush Mishnayos, the Sanhedrin Perek Yud in Yisoid Ches, in the eighth principle, writes, "Un oich in Gemara on Sanhedrin at Tzaitas Medbeis is as van Bremes." This principle is alluded to, as it's in the talking chiluk from the pasuk Vachois Loiton Timna, that there's no difference between the holiness of the verse and Lotan's sister was Timna, a verse describing the genealogy of the chieftains of Seir at the end of Parshas Vayishlach. So Rambam tells us there's no difference in the holiness of that obscure genealogy of an ancient non-Jewish family and the pasuk of Shema Yisrael and the pasuk of Hear, O Israel. The Rebbe clarifies, Hagam as their pasuk Shema is ain from the mitzvah ikriyim on their pasuk v'achis gvimim is merit v'yasipur, although it's the case that Shema Yisrael Hashem looking at Hashem Echad is probably one of the most important mitzvahs in the Torah, if not the most central principle in the Torah. But, and the story of Lotan being Timna's sister is apparently, seemingly, an insignificant detail. V'rum bein zayin sipurim is bein zayin hayrois. The Rebbe says that since both are told over in narrative fashion, even Shema Yisrael is told over in the context of a narrative of Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to the Jewish people, so both Shema Yisrael l'chis l'timna must contain lessons, when bein zayin chachmas ritzoni yisbarach, and both reflect Hashem's will and wisdom. So just as the Rebbe says, all stories in the Torah are lessons, so too the aforementioned tale of the three blessings that the Jewish people merited in the desert in the merit of these three great righteous people are eternal actionable lessons. Didrayinyon, Ananiya Kovit, Mon Unmain, Zayin Verstandik, und Zay Al Zayin Faran in Torah. Therefore, we can understand that the clouds of glory, mun, and water are all symbolically present in the context of Torah. The Anania Kovid of Magigiven in Bachutz, the clouds of glory came from without. They were external to the Jewish people. Zehoven Megan Given from the Dal Druchis, Kehargit Nechoshim was Zayin Given Midbar, Oiski Laich Tahor. The clouds of glory did several things. First, they protected the Jewish people against negative physical and spiritual forces. They killed the poisonous creatures of the desert, and they also flattened the mountains that were in the Jews' path as they traversed the desert. Oiskirenik Dilabushim, the clouds of glory also cleaned the Jewish people's clothing. Vyeshtate, as the Torah tells us, Simlascha lebolsa me'alecha, that Moshe tells the Jewish people, your clothing did not wear out from upon you, because the Anania Kovod, the clouds of glory, would refresh the Jewish people's clothing. But does Zayin Alts in Yonim from Megan Zayin Machutz? All these features, all these properties of the Anania Kovod, are instances of the Anania Kovod protecting the Jews from without. Their mon is an inyan fon achila. Mon, the lechem and shemayim, the bread from heaven, is associated with eating. Und dem mon hat man doch kent filin ala taimim was not gewollt. Chazal tells in Masech Hasuma the Fahin Hayim and Aleph that one could discern all tastes that one wished by eating mon. Was der inyan fon achila is a reinemen in apimis. Achila, eating, symbolizes internalizing something. Der Beir, the water. Vazdas is rather the well. Vazdas is Mayim, which symbolizes or is connected to water. Is nit kein dover hamazin. It's not something which sustains mitzad atzma in its own right. Therefore, for this reason, Zok the Rambam writes in Perush HaMishnayis in Eirvin, Perik Gimel Mishnah Aleph. Dem tam fervos in ma'ariv remayim ba'il dover ma'ariv is a dover hamazin dafka. One cannot make an eruv. One needs to make certain eruvin with foods. So the Rambam says that water doesn't count because water doesn't sustain a person. The pulu fun mayim is as mayim tshurak fan ander dem esen ala talin fun kerpen. Water accomplishes water's role is that water creates blood, or water creates liquid, which allows nutrients to circulate in the body, but the water itself doesn't have nutrient value. The Rebbe says these three symbolic properties of clouds, things that surround you, food, man, and water, are all symbolized in the Torah. As is Faran, das was there geht in Apimius. When is Faran, das was there is Megan, Mibahots. There's Torah as Torah comes into us. There's Torah as it surrounds us from without. When is Faran, das was there truck fanande, did say in Yonim Saligan. And there's also Torah as it communicates, as it conveys both the element of external protection and internal transformation to all Jews. As Torah is Moshe Nehiro. The Rebbe said earlier in the Sikha that Torah is associated with the idea of lesson, does haste. As Torah learned the Anhaga of Yitzhafir and Zeich and Leben. Torah tells a person how to behave in life. Thus is Vas Torah Gitin Apimius. That's what Torah conveys, that's what Torah transmits in an intrinsic and an internalized fashion. As Levi der Mon, just as the Mon Vas Men Darf Das Farstein. When I write it nemen in a primius, or you wissen via zolzain the anhagofonim from bnei besay uban of acharav. Man, which one internalizes, symbolizes ideas which a person must understand, which a person must internalize, and know in order to dictate, in order to frame the way they should behave, and the way in which one constructs one's family. Mitzadim inyan in Torah versus dugmas haman, from the perspective of the part of Torah, the sort of Torah that is comparable to man, zayin fanecha looking von ein yidim bezat zveitin. There are differences between one Jew and another. It's a bit hierarchical. The room, the balance is an inyan von pnimius, and thus is by yeder inim leid zayin oifin. And this is because man is something which you internalize. And everyone internalizes things differently. As Levin Man Zayin Given Chalukim from Lechem Bzdachu Bamaducha, just as by the man, there are distinctions between the way in which people would get certain sorts of man. The Gemara in Yuma tells us that there were some people who would get the man ready made, and others who would have to make a lot of preparations to make the man. They'd have to grind the man and cook the man. The Gemara says, by tzaddikim is given their man muchan, and by rishon is given andush. By tzaddikim, they would have their man ready made, and by the vicious, by the wicked, their man was in a manner that they would need great preparation. In contrast, by the anana kovid, and by the be'er, are not given kinichalukim. With respect to the anana kovid and the be'er, there were no differences, nor by the man dafka. Only by the man were there differences in terms of how each Jew would receive. Because man is something which you internalize, so it is with respect to Torah. There are those for whom, if one doesn't have the opportunity to do otherwise, they fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah by reading the Shema alone. On Faran is Alecha, but there are others. But the Chiyuv of Talmud Torah is by Zei Kaliyim Dafke. And their obligation to study Torah pertains to them all day long. I mean, they must study Torah all day long. This is discussed at great length in the Gemara in Menachos, Hatzai Testament Beis, and the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Gimel, Halacha Dalet. The Zel Bez Eich in Hidurim. The same applies with respect to hidurei mitzvahs, with respect to adding on details and adding on frills to mitzvahs. Unochmer more, fradidurim, was der was halt thereby is in zemechoyev. There are some frills, there are some added details, some enhancements to mitzvahs that one who is holding there, that one who for whom such an hidur is appropriate, they are obligated to engage in that hidur. Over there was halnit thereby toward the idurim nitton. But somebody who's not holding there, somebody who is not of the spiritual level to engage in these enhancements, in these refinements of the mitzvahs, such a person is forbidden to engage in Hebrew. Varum nechzik yura v'kitzibizim. Because it appears as though the person is being arrogant. Stam a mensch, Torah says, a normal person, your average person, cannot engage in certain hidurim, in certain enhancements of mitzvahs, in certain acts of extreme piety. Or an adam chashuv, whereas an important person, meaning somebody who's worked on themselves, somebody who's achieved a certain status, is obligated to engage in certain enhancements of mitzvahs. Or an ibnit, and if a person is not engaged in the sidurim, is as an in from the chel Hashem chas v'shalom. Not engaging in the sidurim is a desecration of the name of heaven, as explained in Yuma, the Pevomen Aleph, and the Ram Melchaseh, the Atariya Perak Hei Halachid Aleph, discussing the laws of Timnachom. Nochan Inyin is Fran and Torah, but thus is Bedugma Sanan Yaakovit. There is another dimension of Torah, which is analogous to the paradigm of the clouds of glory. Which is the idea of defending from without. When a person needs to go out in the desert, and what does the desert archetypally symbolize? That this world is referred to as the world of the shells and the demonic other side, meaning the world as it manifests to most of us. Is a dark place, is a challenging place. And turning the world from a jungle into a garden is something which entails great work. And we encounter the world as Amidbar Gadol V'Nira, Asher Ein Mayim, a great and awesome desert without any water. Nor all we encounter is, in the words of the Pasuk in Devarim, Nochash Sorath V'Akrav, the snake, the burning snake with burning venom, and the scorpion. If them is megan their kech and masiris nefesh, but by yeder yidden, by alien, mitzad them, vas yisrael, yoshatev se shri yish shishim riba yisis latay. On the kashvan sefer ter kum derech ala yisis dafke. The male is yeder yid, oich akal shabakalim at them kech masiris nefesh, lim ser nafshe al kudish sashem. On dos zayn in the yanana kovet shabatay. Azoy vi the yanana kovet, hobin arum geringled, own arum genumen aliyin from them zman from Kriyas Yamsuf be is zan nerein to Israel. Oich ot divas haben mit genumen dem pesel. Oich ze haben in na kova der us arum genumen. Az zo is oich veran der chelik in teira das was yesh shish bibes is teira. Was is nehmt arum aliyin from golish bedelim is dem pachash bechusse. Un es git ze dem koyach und die starkheit Oiv durch gehen dem Midbar Gadol V'Nira, in Spall werden von Nechashim Sarov and Akrovim, und stimmen dat nua von Messias Nefesh. So, to summarize all this, what the Rebbe is saying here is that in addition to the Torah ideas that we can articulate, Torah also cultivates a certain attitude. It cultivates something which is intangible, something which is non-internalizable, and that is the power of Messias Nefesh. Mesiris Nefesh is this idea of the willingness to engage in acts of self-sacrifice in order to demonstrate one's Jewishness or in order to demonstrate that one will not separate from Hashem. And the Rebbe illustrates just as the Anan Yaakovit surrounded and protected all Jews, even the Jews who were engaged in worshipping Pesel Micha, the idol of Micha, in a similar sense, every Jew, the Rebbe asserts, has this power to engage in Mesiris Nefesh, no matter how lowly they are externally, in terms of their external comportment, because Mesiris Nefesh is something essential, it's something intrinsic, it's something associated with the Yechid Shavah Nefesh, which a contemporary Acher said, translated as one's unique self. The Rebbe brings a story from the Friedrich Rebbe Sefer Asichas from Kayetz Tovshin from summer of 1940 that the Friedrich Rebbe tells the following story. As B'sasman had geworfen the bombes in Varsha, is men gelofen behalten sich. When the bombs were falling, when the Nazis were dropping bombs in the Warsaw Ghetto, the Jewish people hid out. Amol hat sich zusammengeklebt in ein Ort, a ganze Kvutza. Once during the air raids, an entire group got together in a shelter. There was the Friedrich Rebbe, the sixth Rebbe Lubavitch, Anoshim Beinonim, average people, Anoshim Pshutim, simple people, Onezelech Vashem Gemeint, and those who one might have thought, or they even themselves thought, as a Zainin Gansen Shayach to Yiddishkeit, those people had no connection to Judaism, they were completely assimilated or had taken on some other religious or cultural values. When not too far from them, a bomb exploded. Everyone in the room cried out, Shema Yisrael. So the Rebbe says, when it comes to, as Mordechai once said, when it comes to one's unique self, to the core of consciousness, it's very hard to manifest one's core self. But when one in fact does manifest the core self, whether through an extremely stressful, negative situation, or through more pleasant means, demult, at such a point, when the core self manifests, then the lowliest of the low cries out Shema Yisrael with the same intensity, with the same power as a Jewish leader. It's kind of filu zayin as the sibbe vaseyabin oiskishrin Shema Yisrael is given inside them vaseyabin zech yifunin in the aladamas from the Shema Klolis vaseyabin given protein funir. It's possible, the Rebbe says, they wouldn't have cried out Shema Yisrael, these people who were completely assimilated or were heretics or deniers of Judaism, they might have not cried out Shema Yisrael even in a very stressful situation, unless they had been in close proximity to the Friedrich Rebbe, the spiritual leader of the Jewish people, of which all souls are manifestations. Meaning, they may have only cried out Shema Yisrael, they may have only accessed their core self, given their close proximity to their spiritual leader. But be that as it may, but that was a trigger. Their presence with the Friedrich Rebbe did not make it such that they were derivatively operating off the Friedrich Rebbe's power, but rather the Friedrich Rebbe caused them to access their own Yechidah Shabbat Nefesh. Geshrin Shema Yisrael, they cried out Shema Yisrael, Habenzeh Mitzad Zeir Egen Yechidah, as a result of their own personal Yechidah Shabbat Nefesh, their own personal unique self, core self. In order that every Jew have this aspect of the Mon and the clouds of glory, which are in Torah, that comes from the aspect of water that exists in Torah. Just as water descend from a lofty place to a lowly place, in a similar fashion, the Torah descended and it clothed itself below. It's a lofty wisdom, but it's in a very mundane vessel. Meaning, Torah seems to discuss, in general, particularly the revealed parts of Torah called Nigla, seem to discuss very mundane things, like agriculture, like conflicts relating to business, conflicts relating to marriage, animals, impurities. And Torah descends so low that every Jew, through merely uttering words of the written Torah, even somebody who doesn't know what the words mean, and through studying the oral Torah, through studying the traditions in the Talmud and the Mishnah, even if one only knows the simplest meaning of the words, then a person can access the Mon and the Ananiya Kovid that are in the Torah. Just as water conveys sustenance and nutrients to all parts of the body. The water in Torah, meaning Torah's descent into mundane things. Torah's manifestation in lowlier ideas makes it such that the man in the Torah, with the Ananiya covenant in the Torah, are conveyed to the entire Jewish people, to every single person, in Alan Yonan, to every Jew in whatever he or she needs in all aspects of their lives. Now we can understand the connection of man to Moshe. From the Ananiah of the Ananiah covenant to Aaron, and from Be'er to Miriam, and of the well to Miriam, Moshe is given to Israel. Moshe was a shepherd of the Jewish people, a pastor. Ornerhot gefitter t'yeder einim l'fi erkei, and he would pasture. He would lead everyone according to their unique character, as Avi's tzelt, as Medrash Tzilam tells us, as b'shasrat gepashet l'shepsim. When Moshe would pasture the sheep, Hotter the cleaner sheps in Gigebin Vaichiros, the grass the sheps in Dike and Starkigros. He would give the smaller sheep moist grass, and he would make sure to give the bigger sheep harsher grass. For the Baal doesn't mire is an uniform premius, given that what one consumes is in consonance with their internal character. Moshe needed to give each one that which is fitting for them. Therefore, is their mon was thus the premius of his chalkos. Mon, which symbolizes interiority and therefore hierarchicalism, given b'zchus shel Moshe, that all came in Moshe's merit. Aaron is given oyev es habrius. Aaron was a lover of all creatures. Thus haste. As oich di was zayin nernit di brius. Even those who could only, the only thing they could take pride in was the fact that God created them, nothing more. Meaning they didn't have any other virtues to brag about. Hotter zay libgat. Aaron loved everyone. He loved them too. The first day toch oif Aaron. That's why it says of Aaron, the entire Jewish people cried over Aaron for 30 days, which it does not say of other people. Given that Aaron loved everyone, he was able to arouse in them a longing to engage in mitzvahs. Even though they themselves didn't necessarily have an internal drive to engage in mitzvahs, but they saw that Aaron believed in them, Aaron saw their virtues, and when they felt seen by Aaron in such a way, they would engage in mitzvahs, they'd be inspired to engage in mitzvahs. That explains why the clouds of glory were in Aaron's merit. Because everything happens in accordance with what we do, meaning everything that we do here manifests something from above, is the Balder is given Oyves Abrius on his Chalkos, given that Aaron loved all people without any differentiation. Therefore, he was able to manifest the clouds of glory which took in all Jews equally. Miriam of Miriam Shteitach, as thus is Pua. Chazal tells us that Miriam is identified with the character at the beginning of Shmos, one of the midwives named Pua. Vaziat upkigeben on gehodvet dafke the kleine kinder mitzrayim. She raised and brought up the smallest children, the infants in Egypt. Olam the kashan Miriam, and why was she called Miriam? Vayelzi is given in demzman kakushi from galus. Her name Miriam symbolizes the fact that she lived during the bitter parts of the exile, meaning mar means bitter. Dachot zinvias gezogt as bald is noyled machine shall Israel. Was the me that see mevatel given, need know the exe from Pare, no oif the exe from Amron. Hagam is Amron, hot gad, tam oif the exe. Miriam prophesied that the Redeemer of the Jewish people would be born. And thereby, she both nullified Paro's decree and Amram's decree. Thinking back to the decrees, Paro decreed, every son who was born, every boy who was born, should be thrown into the river. And Chazal tell us that Amram decreed that the Jewish people should stop having children in order that their children not all be thrown into the river. And Miriam prophesied that the Redeemer of the Jewish people would be born. And for that reason, Amram took away his decree, and he said the Jewish people should still have kids, even though Paro wanted to throw them into the river. And ultimately, the Redeemer of the Jewish people was born, Moshe was born, as a result of Miriam's prophecy, which gave Amram renewed hope and caused the Jews to yet again engage in having children. Ziz Gigangen, Miriam lived life with their mysterious nefesh with self-sacrifice, of to great in kinder, vazal and zogin zekili van veil, to raise children who would ultimately say, who would ultimately identify Hashem as this is my God, and therefore I shall glorify him. Adar vazal makabal zayin de Torah, a generation which would receive the Torah. Bizchusa, in Miriam's merit, is given the name Be'er Mayim, was to Ingvon Mayim, is a Rabki Gebenin, un van Andertrug in the Torah Lamakum Namach. The well, which symbolizes water, which symbolizes bringing Torah down to lowly places, Tzidiva Zainin Bikzea Machine. Even to those who are at the lowest part of the camp, those who are on the edges of society. When Aaron and Miriam passed away, the clouds of glory and the well departed, and they returned in Moshe's merit. This demonstrates that Moshe must have engaged in a new sort of worship, in a new sort of service. Even though Moshe's personality was such, Moshe's shlichus in life was is given David von Roya Zionist Israel man hot the naya avoy the gebrach zurich euch the inyonim mit dem Beir. This new Aveda brought back the clouds and the well. The Aramisim von Roya Israel, the true mark of a Jewish leader, of a Jewish shepherd, is our tut nit nor da avoid was shaykh tzum betzim. That not only does he engage in those things which are relevant to him intrinsically, which flow from his or her personality, nor b'shas is mochach tzirich hashah, but when the hour demands a certain sort of behavior or a certain sort of influence, for b'ikter zich, he compromises on himself, and leikta vech zich, unizich moshe nefesh l'abidim, he puts himself aside and engages in self-sacrifice for other Jews. B'shasman there from the Kair of Zayin, Liban Jisrael. Oy chapachoshe b'chus en alikus. Where one needs to draw close the hearts of the Jewish people, even the lowliest of the low with the divinity. Dan farbaik deri Yisrael Zayin Yonim. Un learned mit yidin alfes. Then the Jewish shepherd compromises on his own aspirations and studies alfes with anyone. See Aleph Beis in Torah Mitzvahs, see Aleph Beis Kipshutai. Be it the basics of Torah Mitzvahs, meaning Aleph Beis in a metaphorical sense, or Aleph Beis, literally the letters, in the simplest sense. Hagam, as Erez HaKoyin, is in Plug, Vastot HaKoyin Beis HaKvarius, Rishoyim B'chayim Kriyim Beisim, even though symbolically, a Jewish leader is a Kohen, or a Torah scholar is symbolically a Kohen. And what is a Kohen doing in a graveyard? And the Rebbe cites the teaching from Seches Brachas that people who are wicked, people who lack a virtue, are called dead in their lifetime. So engaging with the wicked is like going to a graveyard for a Torah scholar, for a virtuous person. This person is an elder, a scholar, somebody who's acquired wisdom. How could it be that such an important person would go and find and return a lost object? It's not in accordance with that person's honor, and this is not that person's character. Such a person should be engaging with Jewish leaders, teaching them. But not having what to do with people who are unkosher. From this vegan, nonetheless, b'shashas stalk are in a myriad. When it's in the talking under, v'zol zich their meat for neven. Dan nem the Rosh Yisrael, when er lein oisik zich, in din yonim, hagam, as this is nitlofi erkei. At a time when Aaron and Miriam depart, when they're no longer here, and no one's doing their unique service, no one's doing making their unique contribution, then the Jewish leader engages in things which are not in accordance with his character and fills the void. Shteitach and Tanya, Tanya teaches in Perek Mem Beis, as the other yid atanitzutz of Moshe Rabbeinu, that every Jew is a spark of Moshe Rabbeinu. Bimela, is thus a year off I get the yidin as a gam yeder einer, hotzer zayin inin. This is a lesson to everyone, that although everyone has their own unique thing they need to manifest, from the zegen that has felt their be'er, shebizchus shal miryim, und the anonim, shebizchus shal aron, when we're lacking the well, which comes in Miriam's merit, and the clouds which come in Aaron's merit, when it's surrounded the sakana from the choshem shrafim bakrov, and there are snakes, venomous snakes and scorpions, which lurk all around, dan montmen by yeder einim, erzol zen umkern den beir mit den anonim. That such a person should bring back the clouds and the well. Without thinking whether or not this particular thing is what they need to manifest. And although it's the case that this person himself is secure, this person need not worry about the dangerous creatures which lurk without. Given that this person manifests the divine image, and animals are afraid of the divine image, and therefore animals, the dangerous force of the world, cannot control him. As Gemara in Sanhedrin Lam Ches Amud Beis tells us, no negative creature, no evil creature is able to rule over a person, is able to harm a person, unless the person appears to the creature as a beast. Meaning to say that the person has some character flaw. For this vegan, the baldas far an andrin is as yo asakono. When his kinzain is netoder aron miryim, was a daigenin oif far made in the sakono. Given that, although it's the case that the symbolic, the archetypal Moshe Rabbeinu, need not worry about the challenge of the desert, but given that the archetypal Miriam and Aaron are absent, is thus an infant bikuach nefesh. The situation is one of risk of life. Lives are at stake. That when lives are at stake, we desecrate the Shabbos in order to save lives, and we push aside the entire Torah to save lives. I feel by kam v'kam esfekes, and I feel to live b'chayishol. Even if there are many doubts whether our strenuous actions will indeed save the person, and even if we know that the person will only live for a short period of time, b'meila, darf erzayin der v'zol zich farnem middem. A person who sees there's no one else putting out the fire, and they have the opportunity to put out the fire, even though this is not their unique shlichus. Zon zayin sai der mon sai der nonim unsai der be'er. They need to make it such that the mon, the clouds and the be'er all manifest. And when a person completely gives themselves over to this idea, when a person submits themselves to doing what the hour calls, instead of worrying, is this what I'm meant to do? Is this fitting for my high station? One brings Jews closer to their Father in heaven. Then Hashem will respond by bringing this person and the members of the house closer, giving them whatever they need, and most primary of all, that by us working to make the world a sanctuary for Hashem, v'shachanti b'seicham, that Hashem will respond by dwelling within us, b'seich kol echad v'echad Yisrael, manifesting within our consciousness. Let's summarize the sicha. The Midrash Chazal associated with Parshas Chukas discuss the three different miracles the Jews experienced in the desert with respect to their basic needs: the man, which provided their food; the Be'er, Miriam's well, which provided water; and the Anana Kovid, the clouds of glory, which provided shelter. Chazal tell us that the well manifested in Miriam's merit, the man manifested in Moshe's merit, and the clouds of glory manifested in Aaron's merit. When Miriam and Aaron passed away, the Be'er and the Anania Kovet departed, but through Moshe's merit, they returned, as in the Anania Kovet, the clouds of glory, and the Be'er returned. The Rebbe asks, what is the eternal actionable lesson that we learn from this Maamar Chazal? What are the archetypes of Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam? And what do man, water, a well, and the clouds of glory symbolize? So the Rebbe tells us that these three factors, as in man, water, and the Anania Kovod, all symbolize things that are associated with the Torah. Man symbolizes, well, man is food, which one internalizes, and that symbolizes the fact that each of us are going to learn the Torah differently. Each of us are going to understand Torah differently, and that is okay. The Anania Kovod, the clouds of glory, symbolize a shared common denominator amongst all Jews, and that is the factor that all Jews, under the right circumstances, under the circumstance of the revelation of their core self, of their Yechidah Shel B'Nefesh, will engage in acts of self-sacrifice for Hashem, will express their core Jewishness. And that is associated with the Anania Kovod, which the clouds of glory, which surround everyone equally without any hierarchical distinctions. Finally, the Mayim, the water, symbolizes the fact that Torah descends from a lofty place to a lowly place. Torah, as we encounter it, usually seems to be telling relatively mundane historical tales, or tends to be talking about mundane laws, such as laws of agriculture, conflicts that might arise in romantic relationships, conflicts that might arise in business relationships, laws of slaughtering animals, and laws of impurities, but meaning relatively mundane things. And just as water descends from a lofty place to a lowly place, so too the sublime mysteries of Torah descend from their sublime core selves to the lowly garb in which they manifest. But the idea of water is that everyone, through engaging in Torah at their level, is able to access the sublime. So those are the archetypal symbols of man, of food, of mayim, of water, and of the Anania Kovod, and of the clouds of glory. Now, Moshe, Miriam, and Aaron manifest these three different things based on the different characters. Moshe manifests man because Moshe archetypally is a shepherd. And just as a shepherd worries, and just as a shepherd makes sure that each member of his flock will have the right food, will have the right sustenance, the sustenance that's appropriate for them, given their unique character, in a similar fashion, Moshe Rabbeinu was responsible or symbolizes the archetypal leader who manifests Torah, who manifests that which is appropriate for each individual at their level. Aaron, on the other hand, is described as Oyev Sabrias Umakarvan LaTorah. Aaron loved everyone equally, irrespective of their virtues. As a result, Aaron is the one who is responsible for manifesting the Ananiah Kovid, the clouds of glory, who is responsible for manifesting those things which are equally true of all Jews. And finally, Miriam, who the Torah tells us was engaged in midwifery, who was engaged in raising the youngest children, symbolizes bringing the Torah down to the lowliest, to the youngest, to those who lack understanding. Now, when Aaron and Miriam die, when Aaron and Miriam pass away, when Aaron and Miriam depart, Aaron and Miriam no longer manifest their unique quality, and therefore the positive things which come from their presence depart. Moshe Rabbeinu brings them back. What does this mean? So the Rebbe says that Moshe Rabbeinu worked on himself in order to manifest Aaron and Miriam's qualities. And by Moshe working to manifest Aaron and Miriam's unique qualities, Moshe was able to manifest the Mon as well as Aaron and Miriam's inyonim, which were the Anani HaKovid and the Be'er in the real world. And the Rebbe says this meant that Moshe Rabbeinu needed to go out of his comfort zone, and Moshe Rabbeinu needed to engage in activities he would not have otherwise ordinarily engaged in order to manifest these qualities. But nonetheless, that is the hallmark of a true Jewish leader. A true Jewish leader doesn't only do that which accords with their personality type. A true Jewish leader provides whatever it is the hour calls for. The Rebbe tells us that in Tanya Perek Mem Beis, the Alter Rebbe says that every Jew has a spark of Moshe Rabbeinu, meaning to say that every Jew is able to manifest Jewish leadership, every Jew is able to take on a certain degree of Jewish leadership appropriate with their way of being. So a person shouldn't say that I have a particular personality type, I have a particular constitution, and even though the world is burning around me, even though there are a lot of challenges, there are a lot of problematic things going on, I'm safe, and I'm not going to go out of my comfort zone. I'll do what I'm good at, but I won't contribute beyond that. Instead, the Rebbe tells us that one must learn from Moshe. And just as Moshe went out of his comfort zone and worked to manifest qualities of other leaders who were absent, we too, if we see things that are absent, which we can contribute, even though those things are not necessarily consonant with our core way of being, with our core personality, we must engage in those activities as well. And then if we do so, the Rebbe tells us, not only will it be the case that these things will not, engaging in these other activities, will not distract us from becoming our full selves, but it'll actually help us become what we wish to become. As the Pasuk tells us in Parshas Truma, the Asuli Mikdash, they shall make me a sanctuary by creating a sanctuary for Hashem, Shachanti Besochem, I will dwell within them. Hashem says he will dwell within each person if we do what's necessary to manifest them in the world.